Good morning, and welcome to After Deadline. My name's Kathleen Strecker. I'm the editor of Coast Weekend at the Daily Astorian, and I am very intrigued and pleased today to be sitting in the studio with Sue Croning, who is very involved in the activity of bridge in this area. And I'm talking about the card game of bridge, not the big green metal thing that we see out our windows every day. So, Sue, welcome. Thank you very much for coming in.
Well, thank you, Kathleen. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, likewise. We've been running some bridge columns in Coast Weekend lately. You might have seen it. You know, sometimes it involves a diagram with certain player positions and the names of cards that each player might hold. And this is complete hieroglyphics to me. So I've been looking forward to talking with you about this because I know nothing about the game of bridge. And I expect that's true for many of our listeners out there. But it's wildly popular. I remember I was telling Sue before we came in the studio, my first recollection of being exposed to the game of bridge was watching Lucille Ball play it on the I Love Lucy show with her friends. So it's been around, obviously, for quite a while, and I would just love to find out more about it, and we can sort of educate our listeners as to what's going on in the world of bridge.
I'd love to do that.
Great. So tell us a little bit about your background. How long have you been in this area, and what brought you here?
Well, my background is I was born in England. I was raised in Rhodesia, which is now Zimbabwe. I lived for 10 years in South Africa, and now I'm very proud to be a citizen of the United States. I've been here about 25 years now. I've lived in San Diego and in Phoenix. Now, I love your question about what brought me here because I'd like to tell you the story, particularly since you are in advertising. Some years ago, my husband and I went to Tacoma. We lived in Phoenix. We went to Tacoma to visit his son, who was in the army there. And because on one wet day, we went to a bridge tournament. And they were handing out pencils at the tournament, advertising tournaments in the future, one of which was in Seaside. So I took my pencil home, which was sort of white with red card symbols on it. It was pretty. And for about 18 months, I had it in a little jar on my desk. And every time I picked it up, I would think, Seaside, what a jolly sounding place that is. And one day, there were half price tickets advertised to Portland. And I thought, I think that's quite close to Seaside. And so we came to the tournament. We loved the area. And really, that's what brought us here, the pencil. So, never underestimate the power of advertising.
That is great. And so you've been in Seaside for 25 years, you
No,
said?
For 15 years.
I see.
I've
okay.
been in America for 25 years. Yes.
Very good. So tell us how you got started playing bridge.
Well, you know, my parents were English, and we lived out there in southern Rhodesia, and they kind of recreated their bridge society. And I think that bridge has long been a pastime of the English middle classes, if you like. So I kind of learned at my mother's knee. And then I went to university, and I had a boyfriend who played, and my first husband played. And it was sort of just one of the things that was done along with tennis and golf and those kind of activities.
Okay, very good. So for those of us who have really no clue, can you give us just a brief history of the game, how it came about and how it spread? Where did it originate? How did it spread?
Well, you know, cards were sort of invented in China about 1,000 years ago, and then they spread to Europe. And by the 1500s in Elizabeth I's reign, whist was a popular game. Mm-hmm. Whist is the real precursor to bridge. And in those days, they had a tax on cards, and you could only buy a deck of cards minus the ace of spades.
Really?
And you had to go and purchase the ace of spades and pay your tax, which is why even today the aces are very elaborate because they were all different depending on the taxing authority. And when I looked it up, it said that whist was popular with the clergy and, you know, the sort of middle class people. And then after that, whist went on for a lot of years. Hoyle, you know, wrote a card book, and whist was included in that. Mm-hmm. And then the card sort of became more elaborate. The French introduced queens, and then we had the entire deck. And after whist, then I think bridge, there's some doubt about its real genesis, but they think that Russian whist evolved, which was called birich, evolved into bridge, and it became a game where instead of the trumps just being arbitrary, they were decided through an auction.
And that you've completely lost me now. It was trumps and auction. There, I was following you up until that point. No, but that's very interesting. I was going to ask where the name bridge came from. Does it refer to an action that you'd take in the game? But no, it's from the Russian, apparently.
That's one of the stories. Okay. Let's stick with that one. Birich became bridge.
Sounds good. And so is still in Europe, we're talking that it became the game that it is that we know today?
After the turn of the century, if you like, bridge became, it sort of evolved. Auction bridge became really popular, I think, all over Europe. And then Harold Vanderbilt was on a cruise. He redefined the scoring system and really made it into what we have today, which is what we call contract bridge.
Okay.
And when you ask me a little bit about the object of the game, then I'll try and explain some of those terms.
Sounds good. So is there still a difference between auction bridge and contract bridge? Are those two different games?
No, auction bridge really no longer exists. Oh, okay. It's all contract bridge now.
Gotcha. All right. So now there are organized clubs and a society, and you can earn ranks and points and all that sort of stuff. Kind of give us an overview of how that all comes about.
Modern bridge today.
Sure.
Well, can I start off by saying that I really think there are four kinds of bridge today. Okay. The simplest is what I would call kitchen bridge. Now, bridge is actually a very easy game to learn. In two or three sessions, you can learn the real rudiments of bridge, and you can play it at the kitchen table, say.
Okay.
And for that, you just need one deck of cards.
Okay.
Then the next step up is what we call social bridge or party bridge. This bridge is played basically with four people.
Okay.
Social bridge or party bridge, you would have in your home, have three friends around and play for an evening. And usually you have two decks of cards for that, because there's some elaborate ritual about one person shuffling and another person cutting. And
okay.
There's a lot of etiquette attached to bridge.
All right.
Then the next step up from that, if you like, or this is kind of how bridge evolved, is what we call duplicate bridge, which is mainly what I'm involved in. And this is duplicate bridge is normally played at a club, although you don't have to be a member, it's just a group of people. Mm-hmm. And instead of having one table of four people, you usually have, say, seven or eight tables of four people. Now, the hands of bridge played in duplicate are not sort of all mixed up at the end of the hand. The hands are preserved.
Oh, okay.
And they're put into what we call a board, which is like a metal object with little slots.
Okay.
So the original hand that was dealt to you and has been played is now preserved in the little slot and moved to another group of people.
Uh-huh.
Now they're going to play the same hand that you've just played.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the same hand will probably be played seven times in the afternoon.
Okay.
And then the people who do best with the same cards are the people who will win.
All right.
So it's called duplicate because the playing of the hands is duplicated.
Okay.
And that's what goes on in clubs. So they're bigger groups of people than social bridge.
Okay.
And there's this competitive element which has been added. And then fourthly, there's tournament bridge, which is the really highly organized part of bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the American Contract Bridge League that pretty much handles all of that.
Okay.
I mean, the American Contract Bridge League is actually the largest user of hotel rooms in the world.
Really?
Because there are tournaments going on all over America and all over the world.
That's fascinating.
At any time.
Wow. Well, that's good. And you, as you mentioned, Seaside hosts a huge tournament here, don't they?
Seaside hosts a big tournament in April.
Okay.
Called a sectional, to which about 250 out-of-towners come.
Mm.
And then we host a bigger tournament in October, to which about 1,500 out-of-towners come. Yeah, bridge is big. It's a big business, big organization.
I suppose. So what would you say the attraction is of this game?
Well, I think for people like yourself who've never played, bridge has a certain cachet.
Mm.
Nearly everybody has some idea in their head that there's some glamour attached to it. And certainly in the days when it really became popular, And that was kind of in the 30s. Mm-hmm. A man called Eli Culbertson came into the game. And now Eli was a big-time showman and salesman and author. And he wrote books, which hugely successful. And he promoted the game with big-time tournaments with glamorous people in evening dress. And okay. I mean, the whole country hung on these games. Mm. So, you know, that really was the start of really modern bridge, and I think the glamour aspect grew out of that. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of very well-known people, you know, play bridge. George Washington played bridge.
Yeah.
Martina Navratilova plays bridge. And today the big names in bridge are Bill Gates and Warren Buffett,
ooh,
who both love bridge, play uh-huh. a lot of bridge, and have recently put up $1 million to teach bridge to young people.
Oh, very interesting.
And then it is a mental challenge. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just a game you never stop learning. So it's sort of a healthy thing to do for your mind.
Definitely.
And socially, I would put number one, it's the social aspect. You meet super people, really intelligent, accomplished people. You have a lot of fun with these people. You play bridge, you go out to dinner, you eat, you go to their homes.
Mm-hmm.
It's social, it's fun, you make friends.
Oh, very good. Do you see any certain personality types drawn to it more than others, or are there any surprises sometimes?
No, I think you'd get a full range of people mm-hmm. coming in. You do get all kinds of personality types, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to be a problem that people were too intense about bridge, and Duplicate particularly got a bad rap for being rude people and that sort of thing. But recent years, we've had a zero tolerance policy, and that is not allowed. So actually, mm-hmm. we find people are very nice now. Bridge is kind of, you learn by making mistakes, and some people find that hard to handle. I find nurses very difficult.
Oh, really?
To take up bridge, because nurses do not like to make mistakes quite naturally.
Probably a good thing, but yeah.
But some people who would surprise you know, you'd think they're really accomplished people who are used to being at the top of their game and are not comfortable being at the bottom of this one, but mm-hmm. it's surprising how some people just take it and run with it.
Wow, very good. Now, you've mentioned that it takes a few sessions to learn. What's the best format for learning how to play bridge?
I think lessons, really, mm-hmm. you know, something structured is the best. I give beginner lessons usually every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to run them as workshops so people just get lots of hands-on-the-cards experience.
Okay, so they're kind of intensive sessions, and you're not just jumping into a game and having to learn it as you go. You're actually teaching them.
That's probably the most comfortable way to learn. It's really hard to jump into the game because it's...
Yeah, I can imagine. a lot of intricacies. How could people get involved in these lessons? Should they contact you directly?
Yes.
And
yes.
What's the number they can reach you at?
503-738-7817. Or they could send me an email at skroning, skroning, at seasurf.com.
Okay. And I know that you do teach out of the Bob Chisholm Community Center in Seaside a lot.
Yes. One of our bridge games, at least three of our bridge games a week, are at the Bob Chisholm.
Mm-hmm.
There's a game there on Wednesday afternoon, one on Friday afternoon, and one on Saturday morning. And Saturday morning is the game where we try to bring newer players in.
Very good. Okay. And there are also opportunities across the river on the Long Beach Peninsula, am I right?
Yes. There's a club in Ilwaco that plays on Mondays, and there's also a club in Astoria that plays on Thursdays. So there are five games a week that you can play in.
Excellent.
Of which Saturday is the best one. I give a free mini lesson at 9:30 on Saturday mornings, and anybody with a little bit of knowledge of bridge can come along. And then we have a small game, and I'll get you a partner, and you can just come and play.
Very good. And I should say, as often as we can, we try to run the listings of these games in Coast Weekend.
Yeah,
and you can
that.
Also go online and find the games listed under events. So if someone's curious about it, they can either reach you directly or look at Coast
Weekend.
Oh,
and we have a website, seasidebridge.org.
Oh, very good.
Yes, if you just do Seaside Bridge, that'd
yes,
be great.
Yes, okay. So let's get into a little bit of the meat of the game. If somebody were going to show up for a very novice beginner class, what is the first thing you teach them?
Well, let me just tell you the object of the little sort of overview of the game. Mm-hmm. There's the deck has 52 cards, and you deal out 13 cards to each of four players.
Okay.
The players who sit opposite each other are partners, and it's a game of tricks like war or pinochle or hearts or spades. And a trick is when each person puts a card face up on the table, and the highest ranked card wins the trick.
Oh.
So there are 13 tricks in each hand, and the person who wins more than six, or the pair that wins more than six, is the winner of that hand.
Okay.
That's kind of the basis of it.
Aha.
So,
right.
So if you come to a beginner class, that's kind of how you start off, just with that.
I see.
Then we get on to more complicated concepts, if you like trumps, which is... a trump is like a wild card. So instead of the highest card winning a trick, a trump will win a trick. Now, you do learn a couple of basics. One is you have to follow suit if you can. Otherwise, it's called a revoke and there's a penalty.
Okay.
And one of the first things I'd like to teach people is to cherish your partner. Because bridge is a game of cooperation and communication with your partner, and that's an important part of it.
Okay. All right. We're getting somewhere then.
And I also like, you know, I also like to ask people why they've come to the class. It's always interesting to learn people's motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine who lives on the East Coast told me a story once. She said she had a very quiet man who came to her class, and then he started playing in the game, and he used to come early to help set up, and he'd stay late to clean up. And one day when she was thanking him, he said, you know, Marty, he said, after my wife died, I was so depressed for about 6 months. And he said, if I hadn't come to your lessons and started playing, he said, I think I would have sat in the dark in my pajamas until I died.
Aww.
He said, I should be the one thanking you.
No.
So you never know people's motivation for coming to the lessons.
Right. Oh, that's wonderful. All right, so you have used a couple of terms already. You've used trumps I'm not sure what else, but just in kind of going over some of just the columns that you've sent us to run in Coast Weekend, there were terms in there that I find so intriguing, and just standing alone, they sound just, I don't know. I don't want to say they sound ridiculous, because they're not, but they sound whimsical, I guess, is the best word. They sound kind of whimsical. So kind of tell us what some of these things mean. If you have the diagram out in front of you, like that's on the printed page, you have compass directions. Mm-hmm. You have a northeast, west, or no, you have a dummy and a declarer,
mm-hmm.
and then you have an east and a west. So tell us what all that means.
I think the east... the north, south, east, west is just sort of arbitrary.
Okay.
It's certainly used in duplicate at the tables to designate the position. So the person sitting north at each of your seven tables will always get the hands, the north hand.
Mm-hmm.
But it's arbitrary. It could be colors or anything else. It's just to distinguish the one hand from the other. And also the north and the south players are always partners.
Mm-hmm.
The east and the west players are partners.
Okay.
And yes, I guess the words, well, I'm sure they are kind of old. The word dummy, if you teach kids, they hate this. They hate being the dummy. But it actually comes from a French word which means to be silent.
Mm, okay, as in deaf and dumb.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
And the way the game is played, there's always one hand which is face up on the table. And that is the dummy hand.
Okay.
And the partner of the dummy is the declarer, who's kind of in the boss seat, if you like, in charge.
Okay.
And the other two are the opponents.
All right.
The word vulnerable, if anybody who plays tennis knows that you have to win two sets out of three.
Mm-hmm.
And if you win the first... If the first two sets are split,
mm-hmm.
then you have to win the third one. Well, in bridge, if you win a game, then you're what's called vulnerable.
Okay.
And it really means you're vulnerable to higher penalties if it doesn't work out for you. Let's put it that way.
Okay. All right.
If you crash and burn, it'll cost you more.
So do you accrue points, and then you can have points taken away too?
Yes.
Is that how it works?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
In bridge, you have what's called a contract, which which means that through a process of what we call bidding, which is like an auction, mm-hmm. where you go around the table and you basically say, I think I can make 10 tricks with hearts as trump. And the next person might say, well, to heck with you, I think I can make 11 tricks with clubs as trumps.
Okay.
So you have this conversation, but you're only allowed to use 16 words, so it's very limited.
Oh, okay.
And you have to get this all this information across to your partner,
mm-hmm.
and the person who kind of wins this is said to have a contract.
Okay.
So now if my contract is that I'm going to make 10 tricks in hearts, with hearts as trumps, then I have to do that.
Okay.
And then I will get points scored to me and my partner. If I fail to do it, my opponents will pick up the boodle.
Okay. Does one of the players have to sit there with a pencil and keep score?
Yes.
Okay. All right. All right. So how about these terms? You have roughs and you have finesses. Are these completely different things? What are we talking about here?
Well, a rough is a slang word for trumping.
Oh, okay.
And a finesse is a kind of particular sort of play, a very well-known layout of the cards where you would do a particular thing in the hope that it'll be to your advantage.
Oh, okay.
And 50% of the time it will work and 50% of the time it won't work.
Okay, so it's a strategy.
It's a strategy, yes, okay. Yes, thank all you, right. Yes. I guess like chess, yes.
Yeah, okay, so all right, I'm starting to get this a little bit here.
And then, you know, Calvertson, the great salesman of the 30s, he introduced a lot of these terms.
Oh, okay.
And even things like rubbers and length and... Mm-hmm. And some of them had some sort of innuendo, so it made the game even added a little extra spark to the game.
Now, can you play bridge for money like you can with poker or something?
Yes, and social bridge players usually play for a small stake,
mm-hmm.
But people do play money bridge often for very high stakes.
Really?
But it's in my world anyway. I don't come into it very, very much. I think mm-hmm. it's usually done in people's homes.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, you run into gambling laws.
Oh, true.
But you can play Money Bridge online. A new thing has come up where you play with a robot. Your partner is a robot, and your opponent is also playing with a robot. So there's no question of cheating or finagling at all.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something new.
Wow. All right. Well, I guess the internet brings us everything. Might as well bring us bridge, too.
It's a shame, really, because poker is popularized by the big money there. I mm-hmm. think in some ways it's a shame that bridge could be more glamorous if there was more money involved.
I suppose. Well, that's very interesting. So, so we have some local bridge. Do you call them bridge clubs?
We call them clubs, but you don't have to be a member. It's mm-hmm. anybody can come.
Okay.
We're always looking for new people.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to urge all social bridge players to come and give us a try. It usually takes about 4 to 6 times to just get used to things being a little different.
Okay.
Social bridge players throw their 4 cards for the trick into the middle of the table. You know, each person mm-hmm. plays 1 card to a trick, and social bridge players put them in the middle of the table.
Okay.
But we duplicate players, we put our cards on the edge of the table in front of us.
Oh, okay.
So that at the end of the hand, we've got all our 13 cards, which we smush up and put into the board.
I see. Yes. Okay. So about how many people locally are actively involved in the local clubs?
There are 102 members in our local bridge unit. Those are the regular players mm-hmm. in our clubs. And in the district to which we belong, there's about 3,000-4,000 people.
I see. Okay. And you had sent me a little bit of background on this. You've got the district that we're in comprises Oregon, Northern California, and Hawaii.
Yes.
Okay. And small areas of Idaho and Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And then the local unit comprises the North Coast from Manzanita to the Long Beach Peninsula. Okay. So then do you have then larger regional units besides the districts?
No, because the district's pretty big.
Okay. And so then do you have national tournaments?
Yes.
And such? Oh, okay.
Yeah, we do. There was one in Seattle recently, and you ran a story about how I met my friend from Bulawayo, Southern Rhodesia.
That's
when we were young married women, we used to play bridge, and I hadn't seen her since that time. And
wow.
I met her right there in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
So it really took me back to those days where we young women used to play bridge, and our nannies sat outside under the tree with the babies.
Uh-huh.
They were good days.
And you just saying that, it just reminds me, I was talking with you earlier about, I just finished reading the book The Help, and it's gotten a lot of popularity lately, but it's set in Mississippi in the 1960s, and it's very much a similar scenario. The young married women get together and do have their bridge game while their hired help watches
right.
their children. Yeah, and of course, the intent of that book was not to focus on the bridge, but yeah. that's the setting that it was in.
That's what they do, yes.
Yeah, very interesting.
And you did ask me if there was a bridge culture, and I thought that was such an interesting question.
Yes, tell us.
And there is a lot of lingo, as you say. You mm-hmm. sort of talk the talk, and there's things like Jacobi transfers and splinters and uh-huh. crocodile coup and the suicide squeeze.
Oh, it sounds much more extreme than I thought.
You might hear someone say, well, he went into the tank, and then he ran the jack, and after that he hooked the queen and he exited with a diamond.
Oh, wow. That's an action movie.
It means nothing to anybody outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say, when I go to a tournament, I get a big thrill being there.
Yeah.
There are stars, and you get free talks and the goodies, and it's just a lot of fun.
Wow. That's fascinating. Can you think of any other popular culture references? Have there been any big movies or books featuring bridge?
Well, there are various novels about murder mysteries around bridge, but I think the most famous movie is Moonraker, which has got James
yes,
Bond,
of course.
And he's playing the evil Hugo Drax.
That's true.
And he pretends to be drunk, and he sets up this incredible hand.
Mm-hmm. I had forgotten about that one. Maybe it's because it's a Roger Moore film. I blocked it. Sorry, fans. All right. Well, very good. So what else have we not covered that
I think young people, most of the bridge players are retirees in this area, but it would be wonderful to get young people into bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have two new teachers, Anne Gramson and Sandy Baker, and they are interested in going into the schools and teaching bridge.
Very cool.
And they'd also like to have a night game to bring new people in, because I think it's a great thing for kids to do. I was when I taught, I used to tell kids, find your passion.
Yes.
I mean, bridge is my passion, and it's a great thing for them to learn, to have on their resumes.
So. Oh, very true. Yeah, a lot of skills, a lot of mental skills going
on. A lot of
that.
Mental skills, yes, that's
social.
Right, yes.
Very good. So, we've got just a couple more minutes here, and...
Can I throw in something?
Terry, go
right
ahead.
When I read in the Daily Astorian what our subject was today, and I engineer most of the after deadline shows, I thought, oh, boring. I'm going to sit here and play solitaire on my iPod, whatever it was. This has been fascinating.
Wow.
A fascinating program.
Thank you.
But it sounds awfully complicated.
No, it's not. You start off very simple. It's open-ended. You can, even though I'm very experienced, you can never stop learning at bridge. And you can play in team games. It's just a whole lot of variety of bridge that you can enjoy.
Suppose. Excellent. Well, give us the information one more time on how someone can contact you if they want lessons or want to join in one of the games.
Yes, thank you. Seasidebridge.org has got all the information. Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you at 503-738-7817. And we have classes, intermediate classes starting in March, and beginner lessons when we have enough people to do it. And Saturday mornings, just come along and kibitz.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Sue, for coming in, and I really appreciate it. I learned definitely a lot today. I'll have to look into some of this.
Well, we appreciate having a column in the Daily Historian. That's wonderful
for
us.
Yeah, well, I hope that a lot of people are gaining interest in it and getting something out of it.
And so. I would just say to all the party bridge players out there, come and give Duplicate a try. Once you're into it, it's lovely, and it's new friends, and you'll never regret it.
Excellent. Well, if you haven't tried bridge, something new to do. So thank you very much again, Sue. And thank you, Terry, for being our engineer today. And I'm Kathleen Strecker with Coast Weekend, and I will talk to you next time on After Deadline.